Hot dogs here.
Hot dogs.
Get your hot dogs. Hot dogs. Hot dogs.
Welcome to show 13. My name is Henry.
And my name is Chris.
And we are...
My Mac guys. All right.
Trying to... Yet another permutation of our introduction to further annoy... What's the guy's name that who's annoyed by our unison...
Well, that's our email, so I'm not going to tell you now. But his name is Jim.
Oh, it says today's email? Well,
yeah, today's email.
I'm getting way ahead of
you. We've already ended the show.
Okay. Nice seeing you,
Thank you again.
Thanks, Henry.
It's been a great week.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm good.
And I know you have a lot on that mind of yours, Henry, and it's a fascinating subject. Please, Henry, what are we talking about this week?
Well, we're starting out our shows with the Apple News, so I'm going to go there first.
Oh, very good. The board of events is behind me, as you now know.
This just caught my eye just because I thought it was just funny. But basically, some companies put out something called the Cherry OS, and it's a $49 Mac OS emulator for the PC. It's basically a full-on Mac OS that will boot on a PC.
I thought it was like a porn OS X. Pardon me.
And, you know, I think that within days of them, you know, the website's still up. If you just Google... we're being Skyped.
Well, of course we're being Skyped.
This guy's could take a t-shirt from us.
Do we have a name?
He went away.
Oh, man. Was that Ganja?
Janja.
And Ganja.
User not online? Okay, anyway. Well,
are we online? Yeah.
Yeah, we're all set.
Wow, that was a close call. The t-shirt almost went out. We do have an ongoing t-shirt contest if you haven't been to the website for one free interactive hand t-shirt, but we digress. Henry.
Anyway, so the Cherry OS, it's just a funny thing to look at. You know, it's somebody thinking they can just get away with just building the Mac OS for the PC and sell it to people without getting shut down instantly.
Is that any different than the emulators from the past, like BIOS, and you remember BOS? And
I never heard of that.
BOS and all those kinds of things that weren't really the, you know...
Well, I think other than the screenshots of this are like, it literally looks like 10. I mean, it's not
right.
It's not trying to be anything else.
That's nothing Bill Gates hasn't already done. So well, what's the problem with that?
Or trying to do, that's for sure. Anyway,
right.
as unexciting as it may seem to some, that was my news pick this week.
It's interesting. Before you leave the operating system behind, when I was on the airplane reading, one of the things I read was that so many of the innovations in the next release of OS X are already in Longhorn, Microsoft's release, and that Jobs is completely aware that there are leaks and that these guys are picking up on it, and they're just unabashed about saying, you know, yeah, it sounds like a good idea, we'll do it.
Right. Well, I think that's probably part of the nature of just keeping a competitive edge in this
right.
the world.
Well, it's in every business, right?
I mean,
automobiles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's actually a great way for me to think about it. I mean, what we're going to talk about today is something we touched on in the last program, which is just, you know, personal information management on a computer. You know, already sounds a little bit like something that's a little frightening, and I start to glaze over slightly just thinking about it. But it has been one of the most ongoing kind of dilemmas for me is dealing with what are called PIMs.
Geek alert.
And I look as my computer is my PIM. It's my personal information manager.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
It's like, and so it's not as much about, you know, I've had a love-hate relationship with Palm. You know, my first Palm device, I was a Palm 3. I loved it. You know, it was very simple. And so therefore it synced pretty well with my Mac.
Right.
When they supported the Mac OS, which they do not do anymore. And, you know, I waited a long time to get a new one. And my new one... You know what? I kind of hate it. I mean, I use it as a Rolodex.
What'd you get?
It's like the cheapest color one. It's the
another Palm.
Another Palm. The Palm right. CE.
Did you not go the handspring route?
I didn't get a handspring because I had.
Oh, Henry.
Right, because I had this. They had an old Palm for such a long time.
Right.
Anyway, it just points out this issue of how do I take all this information that I'm gathering on my laptop or on my desktop with me, and I am not going to have a great answer for it, but I'm going to just wanted to talk about. What little I know about this, the process of that endeavor. I mean, for me, it's been that and what you were saying about Longhorn and Mike and basically, the
automobiles.
The constant catch up game that Microsoft and Apple or any soft, Mac, any OS. what I'm trying to say?
You need a PIM to help you right now. I think what you're saying is any great competition between two companies attempting basically to go after the same market, there's a natural catch-as-catch-can leapfrog is what
leapfrog,
I guess. Leapfrog. Right. It's exactly. The name of leapfrog.
Right.
And it's not even, it's the American spirit, really. It's Coke and Pepsi. It's the
yes.
same thing.
Yes,
and,
sure.
and I guess there's no, there's really no holds barred. Whoever can get that market share, go for it.
Right.
And even if you end up borrowing some of the things, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to me if Pepsi comes out with some version of a lime cola
right.
now.
Sure.
Now the Coke's done it.
So with that in mind, I have always used Microsoft products for my personal information management,
which are
address book, a calendar, email, and a note taker or notes of some kind.
Right.
Those four things are what's in a Palm, basically, and that's why you kind
right.
of know that's what the four things are. And it used to be Outlook Express that then turned into Entourage,
yes,
which was part of with the Office suite from Microsoft. And I got to the point where basically I would stay up to date with Office just for Entourage.
Right.
And I've been told even up till recently that Entourage on a PC is much more powerful than the Entourage that was ported, that was cross developed for the Macintosh platform and does like even cooler things. And what I always want and still really have not achieved, even though I feel fairly satisfied with the way I do it on my Mac, is like a way for all these things to talk to each other.
To dream the impossible dream. To fight the unbeatable foe.
Like if I get an email, I wish I could just drag the recipient right into onto my desktop and have the computer just figure out that I want to add that address to my address book.
Wait, now you're I'm not going to go too far off track, but this is exactly what we've talked about over the years. How many times have I called you and said, it's a computer. It should know how to do such and such thing. There's some basic operations that I don't want to be a programmer for it to do.
Right.
I'm trying to hook up, let's pretend, I want to hook up to AOL for the first time. Cannot AOL and Apple build in some script that allows that connection process to eliminate me?
Yes,
and I think
what I think is frustrating is that sometimes they do it and they do it poorly.
Yeah.
How many times have I just kind of slogged through, some sort of a scripting process to start a new software or something like that just seems ridiculous,
right.
And then ultimately, I know we used to come across this all the time when we were building AppleTalk networks, just between the two of us to transfer some files from computer to computer or to maybe do some game network gaming between two computers. And it was always so bizarre that you had to set up in three or four different places on the Apple,
on
a Macintosh.
It
had to be, Apple Talk had to be configured a certain way, and your users and groups had to be configured, and all
that.
That's
the answer. That's exactly the example I was looking for. It was doing something very simple like that. Well, it knows what we're trying to do.
Do it. Exactly.
You know?
I couldn't agree more. And it's not, I don't mean it as a disservice to Apple because they've come a long way in implementing much cleaner and simpler networking stuff.
Right.
And part of it, I know, is just built on the fact that what they're hiding from us is so incredibly archaic. I mean, that networking is, you know, it's something that is just steeped in bad juju numbers and, you know, and you don't want to know any more than you do. So I think that the more complicated what's going on behind the scenes, the harder it is to make it look seamless on the front end, which is what we, you know, what we see. But with that said, I still think it's, you know, as much as they advertise it being like you plug it in and you turn it on, you know, that may be true for a FireWire drive now, but it's still not really true for much else.
Well, even even reconnecting to the network is a perfect example. The four steps that Maya explained on show 8 about how to reconnect to the network should not have to be done by Maya or myself.
Right.
The computer senses it's disconnected.
Right.
Go do it, baby.
And just do
Come
it.
Come on.
Right. I agree.
Now, am I expecting too much from the community? Have I seen too many movies?
No.
Am I waiting for Hal to take over my life?
I mean, think yes and no. I mean, no, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I just think, you know, if it should do anything, it, if it should just ask you the question, you appear to be trying to reconnect to the internet. Do you want me to try to do that for you?
Yes, Dave.
So anyway, so personal information management, and that's why, you know, about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, I stopped upgrading from my from Microsoft Office, and based on an article I read, I think in Macworld, that was stating this case, the time has come when I can now use mail for my email.
Apple's mail.
Apple's mail for my email. iCal for my calendar. And what am I leaving out?
The address book.
Based on an article I'd read a couple of years ago in Macworld, you know, I felt comfortable in saying goodbye to Microsoft Office Suite as a way to try to stay up to date.
Yeah, and I'm even surprised you hung on that long. And again, this, again, is the difference between us, is that, you know, that all always seemed too complicated to me. I just, and .Mac was, they just could not have written something more friendly for someone who loves Apple. I want to see a pretty blue globe, and I want to have it all be within the world of Apple and all the Microsoft stuff. Everything about it, their people icons, everything felt very PC to me, even though I was fully aware that I was using a Microsoft product on a Mac, and I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So I jumped on. Now, I have some issues, but one of the issues I have is what you said earlier on the show, is that you want to be able to take everything with you. And I think really the question is now, why do you want to leave your computer behind? And it comes down to one word, size. It's about portability. And I'm a big ex-Newton fan, and even I thought the Newton was going to solve all the issues. What it didn't solve is that I just want to walk across the street. I live in sunny California. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. Where the hell am I putting my Newton?
Right.
That thing was still too big.
Right.
So until it becomes a flexible roll or something I can, you know, I've read about newspapers that can become, that you crumple up and it's really an LCD screen.
Right.
Maybe it's a little, you know, Jetsons, it's a question of size.
Right. But I mean, clearly the iPod is to me what, I mean, there's, you know, vast amounts of rumors, and they've been circulating for, you know, longer than the iPod's been around, that Apple has been constantly working on creating a new PDA, a new personal digital assistant, which is the hardware where you store your PIMs.
Yes. And won't it really be the Newton just done much better? I think we have a whole Newton show. Maybe we don't, so let me just get it out of my system.
Sure.
The Newton was the coolest thing since sliced toast, as far as I was concerned, because it had handwriting recognition. You could draw pictures. You could store everything in this one device, ideas, the notepad. It was so elegantly done. The only thing it didn't do was really elegantly go online, because it was just ahead of its time.
Right, sure.
Because that hadn't happened yet, really. And this is my one Newton story, and it is relevant, because we're talking PIMs. So my PIM story is that when I finally decided it was time to sell my Newton, I got tons of calls right away. I mean, the phone rang off the hook. And the one guy who came to me wanted to buy the Newton, beyond geek, beyond. Nobody had ever seen, you know, the thick glasses, the whole nine yards. And when he went to buy it, he didn't have any haggling at all. He wanted it right away. But when he went to put it in his bag, I noticed he had three or four other Newtons in there. And I said, oh, I thought this was the only Newton you had. What's the deal? He goes, oh, I'm just stockpiling them now. And I said, really? He goes, and then I looked at his Newton, and it didn't look like my Newton. When I looked at the screen, he had hacked the entire system so that the interface was his own system. Oh, it had goodness. All sorts of weird graphics going. It was a little Star Trek-y is what he'd done to it. It wasn't a simple hack. And he showed me, and he talked for 15 minutes until I realized I want this guy out of my house. It was a little scary.
I'd just like to say, get a life, will you, people? For crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time. I mean, how old are you people?
But he picked up the Newton, and now, you know, well, you 10 said, years later, I almost bought another one.
Well, you said you just found one on eBay, and you said it was actually, you said Star Trek, and it was it?
Someone had painted it, like some anodized color, it's like, blue. Or,
it's kind of funky looking. If you sent me the
it
link.
Was, I didn't like it, no.
Yeah, but it looks like an Earl Scheib job on a
phone. It was Earl Scheib, it was. But I really did, I was fascinated because they were from $60. Up until to $600 if you get somebody who's got, you know, multiple batteries and extra screens and all this other stuff. I'd be tempted to have it, but there must have been a reason I sold it, and I don't seem to be able to remember that. Rose-colored glasses, I'm telling you.
Well, it's like you just touched on one of the main reasons that I keep using the word hate. It's too strong, but what, you know, just kind of have lost the love of my Palm is the battery issue. I mean, my Palm 3 used AA's. And it lasted for months.
Right.
You know, I remember the first time I started having trouble with it was when I went up to Canada, and it was literally 15 below zero, and you know, the battery's drained quickly. But, you know, I got the new one, and you don't have the option of putting in, you know.
Oh, it's rechargeable?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And it's, you know, you really have to remember to charge it. I mean, right. I go to this thing where I'll throw it in my bag, and I won't use it for 2 weeks.
Right.
And I'll pull it out, and the battery's dead.
It's dead.
And it's like, you know, so, and then that brings up the fact that since it's not supported by the Mac, you have to use a third-party piece of software, which works okay, but it's just, it never really stays in sync with my computer, so I just said, forget it. It's like, it's another place.
I've given up.
To go for a phone number if for some reason I don't have my cell phone with me.
Right.
Which I now use as kind of like my Rolodex.
The best answer to the whole thing was I was in a bookstore one day, and you might have seen this. It was looked like a Palm sitting there, and it really was just a photo of a Palm.
Right, right.
And it was a pad.
It was a notepad.
It was a notepad and a pencil. And I know the older generation sort of laughs at us for spending so much time getting all this stuff in order.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, back to the basics. When it comes to, I have a file now, and I literally throw addresses. I print out addresses and emails, and I throw it in that file. That's my backup.
Well,
and I just know that if someday I need somebody's number, at least I can go to that file, because I crashed too many times. And I used a handspring, which was the coolest thing at the time because the price was right. It was the guys who split off from Palm.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
And I was totally into it, but I found myself, I could never fully commit. How do you commit to it? Someone's on the line right away saying, oh, let me give you a number. What am I going to say? Hold on, let me.
Right.
I could never get fast enough to actually use it. So I gave up on them.
No,
and I don't miss it at all.
I was a long time Filofax user.
Right.
That's what I kept my last Filofax. I had two.
Right.
And I had like made collages for all the, you know, for all the alphabetical dividers.
Geek alert.
And, yeah.
You know, had picture, you know, and every like, you know, Filofax had lots of different. You could buy maps for all the cities and all that stuff. So it was like literally about 4 inches thick.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, beautifully burnished the leather and all that
stuff. But it worked, right?
And I still have it because it's like such a memory for me.
Right.
But, and when part of my love of it was that I was able to print out my pages. People would always say, how did you do that? Because out of my, there was a piece of shareware called Dynodex, which would
take. I seem to remember that.
Which was an address book. But specifically, they sold paper by the box for like a lot of money, like $20 a box.
Right.
That you would print out for your Filofax. So my Filofax was like, you know, I think probably now it wouldn't look that uncommon, but back then it was like, wow, you know, it looks like your Filofax was printed by somebody. It kind of was.
Right.
Because I was, you know, but that was because I was insane about getting to that place.
Well, like, you know, printing Rolodex cards. For a while, I thought, I'm going to do that.
Right.
And I find now that I have last time I printed a Rolodex card, I don't need to be that neat. I just slam them in there.
Ultimately, what winds up saying that even though I love the process of trying to get these things to work, that there is no magic answer to. I mean, I use Apple Mail exclusively for my email, and it has some faults, but I really like it as a program.
Yeah,
I think iCal has serious issues that I won't even go into because
I have one issue that you can't put icons. My only complaint is that you cannot put an icon in it. But this guy who actually wrote the software was part of the Newton team. He wrote Mail for Newton. He's a bigwig at Apple in the programming side. And he also was responsible for a lot to do with eWorld, which is wonderful. And we're going to have him on as a guest on the show. He explained that the architecture beneath iCal is text-based and has no place for graphics in its architecture.
Right.
Which is bizarre.
Bizarre, right. I mean, I can't believe that... You can't print out a 2-week calendar.
Oh, interesting. The increments are not 2 weeks.
Why can't you use
day to day?
No, but I mean, I used to use a shareware called Calendar Maker, which cost $20.
I remember.
And you could print out anything you wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
I could print out from August 12th to March 2nd.
Okay, a prediction on the show. Steve Jobs, who probably is listening to show 12, the show about Steve, is listening to us now on show 13, and iCal will deliver everything we just asked for. That is Apple at its best.
Okay.
They do listen to the customer base, and I've seen enhancements of programs literally months after I wrote an email and feel that they've answered me personally.
I think that's their strength.
iCal is going to be great in 5 years.
Okay.
In 2 years, iCal is going to be the best calendar program. Right, Steve?
Good. And address book the same. You know, it's in between. I mean, my fault with address book was always that, like, I loved, you know, because I was always into, like, printing labels and, you know.
Oh, their labels stink.
It's terrible.
I can't figure it out.
And envelopes. I used to use a shareware called Mac Envelope. It was the only shareware I was a beta tester for.
Right.
I was a guy out of Brooklyn.
Right.
And I was an actual beta tester for the program and helped develop it with him. And absolutely adored it. It's like, it was my... Because just with a couple of clicks, I could print out a little label with a cool little picture of it, of my choice for envelopes and stuff like that. And now it's like, you know, I mean, I'll just go right into my widget because, you know, one of the things I do use a lot, and again, there was an article in Macworld about how to deal with the fact that if you use address book, you still, what do you do about labels and envelopes?
It's crazy that that's not addressed.
I know. It's crazy. Or, you know, it's in there. It's just very weakly.
They don't even have all of the Avery labels listed.
Right.
I've had problems with it.
Right.
We do not disagree, my friend.
I understand. So I'm just going to go right into my widget, my shareware widget pick of the week.
All right, let's hear your widget, my friend.
Which is called Snail Mail. And it's from, you can get the website address from our blogspot. If you just Google Snail Mail, you'll get to it.
What the heck does it do?
It is an envelope printer that reads the address book database. So when you open it up, it's already looking at address book. You don't have to import
it. I got it.
You know, so it sees all of your addresses already.
Right.
And then you're able to print your envelopes very simply, and it works fine. And I think it's free or like $5. But
Do you have one of those printers that just sucks an envelope in very easily without chewing it?
No. You have to feed them in, but it works all right.
Mine's pretty lame.
Now, did you have a podcast for this week?
I do indeed. My podcast for the week is called Folk Den, and it might be known as Folk Den Podcast. That might be part of the name, but it's our good old friend Roger McGuinn of the Byrds fame, and apparently he is going on tour and doing a pure folk set. It's him and some acoustic guitars. I did notice an electric there, possibly the hollow body he played with the Byrds. And, you know, he's playing songs like Sloop John B that the Beach Boys covered.
Love it.
And I heard a couple of the songs, and they're great. And I think Roger McGuinn, I'm so happy to hear that he's not out of music and that the guy is still, you know, gathering people and playing live. And this podcast is all about the songs that he's playing. So
yeah,
please
check it out. If you Google Folk Den, you'll get it right up in the top of the list. So
yeah,
that sounds really cool. It's actually up my alley.
Yeah. And we got a little mail this week. This is our email from Jim, and it says, "Enjoyed the show. Please, for the love of God, stop saying my Mac guys in unison."
I thought we already read this email. That's why I was I was making fun of Jim at the beginning of the show.
No, you jumped. I think you jumped the gun on that.
I made fun of Jim on show 12 and 11, I think.
You think so?
Well, I think I may have.
I don't know. Did I read this part? It says,
our hardcore listeners, they'll go back and re-listen to shows 11 and 12 and see if I actually...
So that means you and I are going back. Okay, check this out. It says, "I sense that Hank gets easily annoyed with things." I know I didn't read this yet. I just love that. "Set him loose," is the advice. "Let him vent some gripes about all things Mac. I think it would be entertaining and would offer some balance." Now, does that mean that... what's that mean?
It means that...
That I don't get mad?
It means that we're not ranting enough together. There's not enough ranting.
He says, "I'm thinking along the lines of when Leno used to appear on Letterman's show with his 'What's Jay's Beef?' running bit. Keep up the good work."
Thank you.
But you are an angry man. No, you're a mellow guy. He's a mellow guy.
I'm trying.
But I do think you...
I like to go off on stuff.
I think you do. I don't think we I think Jim isn't giving us advice that we haven't already taken.
We need to find some more topics that I can go off on.
Yeah. It's pretty easy to do.
HTML.
Woo, don't get me started.
Oh, my God.
All right. I think we're out of here.
We are.
No, coming up on show 14.
iLife. iLife 05.
And everything about it. And how it's changed our lives and how we are all connected to the digital hub Steve Jobs knew we would become hooked on.
Good night.
Good night, my friends.
You've been listening to
My Mac Guys.
My name is Henry.
And I'm Chris.
All contact information can be had at one fantastic website, and that is mymacguys.blogspot.com. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Code of Thrones.